Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Hello, hello, hello. It is Tuesday night. That means it's ABCs of Apostleship 2. I want to say hello to Periscope. I want to say hello to Facebook. I want to say hello to Blog Talk, because all of you all are why this works. We've been at this thing for a few months now, and I'm telling you, it's growing. It's getting established. It's going to be wonderful. And I have a little bit of a surprise for you later on in our broadcast that you'll like, because we want to start engaging you more in these sessions. It's very important. I want to say a couple of things to you right now. Tonight we're going to talk about apostleship and God's mysteries, because that's the biggest deal. We may not know what the secret is, but until you get the key to the secret, you're pretty much locked out of the best of anything. So I want to bring you into the key. For those of you who are new to these weekly sessions, welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. All the people I have outside the country, love you. Yes. Thank you. I appreciate Toronto. You let me know regularly. We're here. London. I like London when London decides to stay up. I hope you all have some strong coffee there. I know when I was in London, you guys had the strongest coffee I'd ever tasted in my life. At least I thought that until I got to Spain, at which point I found that coffee can get strong. And I love coffee, but they let me know that I don't drink coffee. I thank God for Mocha, because you know you popped in on me, became one of my followers. So I just want you to know, we cannot forget my beloved over there in Trinidad. You know, one day I'm going to get a Caribbean vacation. Somebody going to help me find some white sandy beaches, some blue water, and some sunshine. It's going to be great. I don't know what year, but it's going to happen. But anyhow, you all hold it down for me till I get there to your part of the world. Hallelujah. And then we have our people from coast to coast, California, Portland, New York, New Jersey. We have Milwaukee, a little bit of that, because last week we had quite a little showing from there. And come on, we have Atlanta. You know, Atlanta's my fam. Hi, Atlanta. You are family. Yes. I had a great time. I was like, can I just tell you guys, y'all need some more highways, because it gets a little bit congested riding around in Atlanta. But boy, is the view amazing. Love it. Love that. North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama. I enjoy it when my Alabamans kick in. So, hey, we're having a great, great time. So we have to find out what else we have going on. You know, we have a lot from Delaware. So you got some friends from Delaware? I like Delaware. Tell the people from Delaware that need to tune in. I really want to meet some people from and Detroit. Where is Detroit? I mean, you're still here, right? We still have a Detroit member in the union. Okay. We need to have some people from the Detroit area. So you got some friends, you say, she's asking for you. I'm calling specific areas. So I need you all to do that. Yes, upstate New York. I like upstate New York. Upstate New York is my friend. I got some people in the New Rochelle area. My friend, that's in your heart, family. Yeah. Thank God for them. So we are doing God. We're growing and growing leaps and bounds. Is there anybody that I missed? Because, you know, she's
California, Louisiana.
California.
Idaho.
You come on, Idaho. I'm going to visit you all just because. Hallelujah.
Tennessee,
Tampa, Florida. And what did you say? Louisiana. You know Louisiana. That's where we have Pastor Barbara, right? Pastor Barbara. That's my yes. I got some. See, I know some of you guys. You think I don't remember, but I do. I have a very good memory.
Kansas.
You know Kansas.
Kentucky.
Hi, Kentucky. Kansas. Got two. Oh, come on now. Maryland. That's next to Delaware. I'm getting closer to Delaware. I'm getting closer. And I want to know more about my overseas people. I got my people over there in Hawaii. You know, they catch me every week. I appreciate you. Now, that's a vacation I'd like to have, too. That might be nice.
I feel a call at the door.
You feel that there's got to plant some something apostolic over there.
Yes.
Like, there we are. Okay. Take some ABCs over there. I think I want to take the ABCs to the 50 states. How about that? Can you all help me get that happening? I know you can. Every now and then, I want you to know that we're building a family. not just a following. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I really appreciate you. I appreciate you tuning in. If you are teachers or a class, I know several of you have classes or your churches and congregations watching, listen in, because we're going to start connecting more with you and getting just a little bit more involved. So I want to talk about, I did want to say that. I want to thank you all who are listening to my broadcast on Periscope, my Black Lives Matter to whom? Hallelujah. If you missed it, don't worry about it. It's over there on YouTube. They tell me the Periscope people lost it. You know, them high-tech folks, sometimes they lose a digital three. So they lost it, but don't worry about it. You know, that's why God has more than one social media outlet. See, he does not have to be stuck either. So he's got the YouTube people. They hang on to stuff forever. How many? I got stuff on YouTube from way back whenever.
Oh, yes.
YouTube people seem to be quite reliable. We know Facebook. Facebook is just hanging on in there with you. So I appreciate that. So if it's lost on the Periscope people, go on over there to YouTube. Go to my website, DrPaulaHPrice.com, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. It's not gone. So, you know, one dropout does not end the program. Aren't we glad? Hallelujah. Amen. So isn't that good? And I've got several other things that we have that we want to talk about and invite you to. So go to it and listen to it and pass it along. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you on my Thursday show why we want to keep this going. We don't want to end it, because there's a destiny in everything that the enemy wants to do against us. We are a people of destiny. We are a country of destiny. And it's only the inhabitants of the land that will either keep it or destroy it. So we decide to be keepers of the destiny of our land and of our people. Isn't that great? Wonderful. So we're talking tonight about mysteries. Apostleship is about mysteries. Now I'm going to tell you something. I know, and some of you all might want to answer me on this, but I know that you've heard it talked about how I, you know, I guess the latest thing is that I'm really too governmental. Now, I quite don't know what that means. So maybe some of you can explain what that means, to be too governmental. So the flip side of that is that we have to be lawless. Because the downside of being that is anarchic. We want to be anarchy. So maybe we all try to be the preach the gospel of anarchy. Count me out, because I believe that my Bible says that the government is on Jesus' shoulders. That's what I think. I think that the first thing God issued in the planet was government. And so being governmental is not a bad word, right? And I want you to write that in your notes. Being governmental is not a bad word. Remember, we're only killed legal. We find out legal means loyal. Hallelujah. So being governmental is not a bad word. Isn't that nice? You govern your children in your house. You govern your household. You govern how you spend your money. It's kind of hard to live without government, some sort of governing. So it's not a bad word. But why am I saying that? Because as God begins to do the new thing, the people who are terrified of the new thing have a lot of reflex actions and reflex comments that they will use to deter you from going to the next level. I am here every week because you prayed for me to be here. You did not know my name. You did not know I had the answers. You did not know that God had a Solomon in the wings waiting to take their place at the right time. I like to use Solomon because he's like one of my really interesting statements. Now, I need you to do me a big favor. We are thought leaders, not chaos breeders. We are thought leaders, and we think. We're not going to be led by the pulse of our heart and the beat of our heart. We're going to be led by our minds and our hearts. We're not going to be emotionally seduced or manipulated any longer. So stop letting people drop one sentence, those little cliche sentences on you, and you say, oh, wow, I won't listen to her. Stop that. We're big people. Stop that. You have your own mind. If you're going to reject something, at least be able to intelligently say why you're rejecting it. Not because my spirit don't bear witness and my baby not leaping. You know, you may not have a baby. Maybe you got a hysterical pregnancy or something. You may not have a baby in there. Come on. Stop that. Stop being led by other people's panic. And stop being ruled by their rebellion. Make up your own mind. That's what Dr. Price teaches. And anybody who knows me closely knows that. Make up your own mind. Just because so-and-so doesn't want to read the Bible doesn't mean you shouldn't read it. Just because this one doesn't like to be told the truth doesn't mean that you hate the truth. I mean, because if somebody says, I don't like the truth, what else are they saying? But I prefer lies. Start thinking differently. These sessions are to help you think differently, to stop being led by people's panic, people's anger, people's bitterness, people's woes, all of those kinds of things. The church literally is being destroyed by panic cliches. Panic cliches. Someone else, well, you know, we can't be, they're just too legalistic. You don't even know what it means, and you don't even ask questions. You don't say, so what does that mean? Thinkers ask questions. Write that down. Thinkers ask questions. They don't just take it just because somebody has it. How many of you all have watched churches get torn up because somebody said a woman was a Jezebel? She was too matriarchic. The pastor was too legalistic. The apostle was just too rebellious. Did you ever ask people to explain themselves if they've got enough nerve to accuse somebody and to discredit somebody's reputation? They ought to be able to give you more than a sentence. You ought to make them give you more than a sentence if they're going to send you out to be their messenger. Yeah, but I don't go to that church because they say that church is what. Did you find out? Go and find out. If you're going to repeat it, be correct. Be accurate. Stop listening to people because you don't know what their words are. You don't know people have ulterior motives, and you're playing right in their head. You don't know if they have a personal vendetta, an axe to grind. You don't know what their motivations are. As a matter of fact, I tend to do something that people don't like. Like, why are you telling me this, and what do you want me to do with this information? What do you want somebody to do with the information, or what do they want you to do with the information when they say Dr. Price is too legalistic? What do they want you to do with that? She's too governmental. What do they want you to do with that information? They want you to blindly follow them and join their a campaign of discredit or destruction. Now, if you want to join it, do it for your own sake. Do it because you believe in it. Do it because it's right. Do it because it just isn't you. It's okay that you don't like pink, but don't let somebody else who has had a bad experience with pink make you dislike it. You just don't like because it doesn't do anything for you. That's fine. This is wisdom, people. Wisdom asks questions. Wisdom thinks, and thinkers ask questions. Wisdom thinks, and thinkers ask questions. Wisdom thinks, and thinkers ask questions. So stop letting somebody tell you about this. Why do you think I'm going to have to get on Periscope? Because all of those one-line panic things make people come to the wrong conclusion about me. And half of you now will say, wow, that was really wrong. Wow, she's not like that at all. I'm not just speaking for me. I'm speaking for all of those ministers that we tend to like to do that to. There's so much rebellion and disrespect in the body that we're worse than TMZ. We're destroying people worse than anyone else. Tale-bearing, gossip, false accusation, all that kind of stuff. And you know why it can work? Because you don't ask questions. You don't ask them to prove their point. Oh, but I don't want to gossip. Well, you shouldn't open up the can because we can report this out. If you didn't want to gossip, you should not have pulled your little gossip can opener out and opened it up because we are going to walk through this because if you're going to disparage somebody's character and disparage their work and their ministry, you need to know what you're saying. And I need to know whether to join you or whether to dump what you just said because some things need to be dumped. Can you say that? Can you all agree with me? Some of that garbage that's in your ears need to be dumped because it came from the dump. It came from the landfill of a broken, swamped soul. So don't do that. That's part of what I'm here to do, to help you make decisions. You don't have to take people's word for it just because they want to drop a little innuendo here and a little whatever. Start asking why we're doing this. Why are we doing this? I ask questions. People come to my church, pastors. We all have been victims of it, and they count on us not thinking and just feeling. And they come to our church all red-eyed, tears running down their face, not running everywhere, talking about, I'm so full of hurt. I'm just so full. My last church hurt me so bad. And you never ask what they did. Well, what made them start treating you differently? You never asked. You were so glad to get another lump in the seat, you didn't ask. I did it. We've all done it. But eventually, we have got to stop tearing the body apart. We've got to stop disparaging each other and discrediting each other. We already have a devil that will do that for us for free, full time. He won't even take coffee breaks. He is so committed to us. We don't have to help him. We already have unbelievers and unsaved folks who don't have a clue about it doing it for us, and they don't charge us a dime to tear us up. We go to church and get and literally pay for somebody to tear us up and rip up the body. Why do we do that? We do that because we have been taught to feel and not think. And we've been taught to take the first person's word. You know, Proverbs said the first man sounds right till the second man tells his side. I know, that's in the Bible. That comes under wisdom, and wisdom thinks, and thinkers ask questions. And I'm going to keep saying that because it's time for us to grow up as the body of Christ, as the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. And this man, we act like this is not what he gave his blood for. We act like he bled more for you than for me, or bled more for this one than that one. No, same amount of blood. Everybody got it. We all got the same amount of blood, measure of faith. You know God is going to do that. So stop those panic responses. When you start hearing those negative reports, you start asking questions. So why are you telling me this, and what do you want me to do with that information? So what do you think caused that? Well, what makes you come to that conclusion? You need to get some specific statements and comments. So what made you come to that conclusion? We were sitting, we had a young minister in one of our events, and he was sitting in the back room, and I mean, he was running down this minister and that minister. And so, you know, when he first started saying, okay, we got a little comment, I don't want to hurt the little brother's feelings. Finally, he could, so I said, okay, so let me just tell you this, my bathroom is not for that. It's not the gossip corner. We're back here celebrating Jesus Christ, and we're not going to rip up these folks who've given their lives for this man and given their souls for this man who's lost homes and cars and whatnot, and you just came out the back room. And so you're going to sit there and rip these people up? Not here at my event. We're not doing that. Excuse me, Apostle, I didn't know. Yeah, but now you do know. We're not doing that. We're not here because my peers and colleagues have paid bitter prices for what they got just like I did. Some of them have lost family, spouses, wives, husbands, children, cars, land, finances, income. They've lost a lot for this gospel that we preach. And we need to at least acknowledge the fact that they didn't get it free. It cracks me up when people say the gospel is free. Actually, I'm like, no, it's not. I paid a bitter price for this gospel, but it's no, it's not free. No. Now, it may not have a dollar value, but it's got a currency. Trials, tribulations, loss, lack, afflictions, persecution. Oh, it has a currency. So I need you to do me a favor, and I'm saying it to you as God's mouthpiece right now. Let's stop helping Satan tear up the man's body. You all upset because they talk about us on television. We talk about us everywhere we go. Stop that. Stop being so quick to hear evil about your pastor, evil about the prophet, evil about this one. Stop that. Ask yourself, why am I addicted to these evil titans? We're supposed to be addicted to the glad titans. We're addicted to evil titans. We need those little nasty trifles. We actually have a sweet tooth for evil titans. And we need to ask God to deliver our souls. And that's all of us. Because it's very easy for us to do it right now. The minute that we authorize gossip, the spirits of gossip are running around. And gossip is the rival of the gospel. And you need to know that. So we're not doing that. And whoever you are, stop letting them drop that mess in your ear. And if you don't know how to say it, just give this little piece of exhortation to the folks and let them hear it, and they can hear it out of my mouth. Because I'm telling you, God will not, a lot of the calamity we have in our mouths is the words that we spoke. Because it said death and life are in the power of the tongue. But here's what we don't ever talk about, and they that love it will eat from it. So you're not eating well, probably something about that tongue. Not living well, can't make ends meet, can't make your bills, probably something about that tongue. Could be. Hallelujah. Now, is this all right? Can we go here, Facebook, Periscope, and Blog Talk Radio? Come on, I need some heart. Hey, guys, I hit the 2 million mark on my heart. I ought to give 60,000, what was the way I just said. Can I get some heart? Yes, Ashley, go ahead. Ashley wants to, you know, Ashley has a thing for sound effects. And we usually hold her back, but every now and then we kind of let her rip. So I don't know if she even has a speaker tonight. So I can't tell you what she's going to come out with, but she's ready. Are you ready? She's ready. Hey, isn't this exciting? We're letting Ashley play with her toy. Like, Jody, come up on time now, because I'm not going to sit here and look and feel it. I'm just going to put something on. Just go forward a little bit. Ready? speaker, and she needs these sound effects. We have to give her those de-stressors now and again. It really helps her out. All righty? So I've covered that. I want to talk tonight about apostleship and God's mystery, because it's very important that you understand. I can't keep preaching and teaching about smart Christians, and I don't give you smart information that's going to make you smarter. All right? Wouldn't that be nice if I could do that? So I want to start with a couple of things. In my book, my trusty little book, great book, Before the Garden, book two. Nope, I'm going to read from Before the Garden. That's here tonight. I got a little bit from that, too. But ABCs of Apostleship, that's this one here, and it's book two, Discipling Apostolic Christians. We are discipling apostolic Christians because every Christian begins their life in Christ apostolic. I don't care if the evangelist preached the gospel. The gospel came to apostles first, came to the 12, and then went on. So every Christian begins their life apostolic. If you got born again because of the word of God and the spirit of God and the seed of God in you, if you got born again by repenting of your sins, now if you just came down here and said, think I ought to try a new way of life, you might question whether or not you're born again. But if you went by the formula that's in the Bible, and there is one, then you began apostolic and then moved into all the other denominations and the sectarian options you have. Right now, we're talking about that. I'm going to read to you tonight from, hallelujah, page 33. If you have your own copy, we're reading from page 33. Modern Christianity is presently more in battle than any other religion. Its sheer size and global dispersion make it so. There are significant numbers of Christians in every nation on earth. The body of Christ, on account of this, must learn to neutralize the belligerent machine agitating Christianity to wipe it from the world's recognized and respected face. God's people are the only ones legitimately qualified to stand against it. They alone, because they are his offspring and embody his spirit, have the wherewithal to push back on it. Christians' descendants status and obliges them to preserve their Savior's work and to see that he is not diminished or dethroned from his lofty place in the world. Today, savage assaults on Christ and his church work deviously around the clock to dismantle the very truths that define our uniqueness. The goal is to whittle the large ecclesia down in order to overthrow it eventually. Intimidation tactics are used cruelly to terrify the Lord's people out of enduring to the end. You, however, do not have to yield to it, and this book shows you how. The first attack against the Lord was on his church. The initial target, this is where I want you to go, lean in with me. Every now and then we're going to just lean in together. Come on, lean in with me. Ah, yeah. The initial target was the authenticity of his word, the Christian Holy Bible. Devious mind games maneuvered to scrub Scripture's power from the doctrines it teaches in order to discredit it in the world. The effect of the attack has been numerous congregations ceasing to teach the Bible as God inspired and intended it to be taught. It resulted in thousands of modern churches choosing to promote the teachings that convert Christians to this world culture rather than to protect our founder's faith and his 2,000 plus years of ecclesial success. These are other reasons why the average Christian is unable to distinguish those who are Christ from the children of darkness. We really don't know what a Christian is today. And you know why we don't know what a Christian is? Because we've confused people who go to church and people who love church and people who talk about church with people who have been born above, born from Christ. But you have to, again, wisdom. Wisdom. The word of wisdom saves our soul. Wisdom. Wisdom gives us counsel and instruction. And wisdom thinks. And thinkers ask questions. So when they tell you not to ask questions, what are they telling you to do, people? They're telling you to stop thinking. And if you stop thinking, then you'll stop hearing from wisdom. And so we would rather have you unwise and thoughtless than wise and thoughtful. So we're not going to play that game. I'm going to continue to talk about smart Christians. I'm going to keep talking about Christians who can speak more than six-letter words, understand more than six-letter words, who can handle more than two syllables after life, you know, more than two syllables. We can do that. Now, my book, I love this. You know, I love writing this book because I literally spent days in heaven getting this information. I was so surprised that God wanted to open up his eternal archives to me. I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, so you've been wanting to talk about this. Now, I told you the story of the book, but can I tell you again? I just want to tell you again. So I write the book, and I'm so excited because I finally, we are breaking the seal on Jesus Christ. We're breaking the seal on Christianity. We're breaking the seal on church and the doctrines and those deep, mysterious truths. And I was excited. Oh, my gosh, I was enthralled. I said, oh, wow, God, definitely the body needs this. Oh, Lord, the people appreciate this. My goodness, Lord, your leaders, your teachers will love it. And I was so thrilled that we finally had a compendium of Bible-based apostolic doctrine, because much of it is experience-based, because it's about a feeling and about what I lived. And so wrote it, and then I gave it to a company who was going to shop it for me. They shopped it and shopped it. And fortunately, I'm real smart, and I'm kind of old now, so my feelings haven't been hurt any longer like they used to. And so they came back, and they said, we sent it to like 30 publishers, and they all said no because it's too cerebral, and their readers won't read it. Can you imagine 30 Christian publishers talking about Christians will not read cerebral books? That's you, people. That's their statement on you. I was not ready. I wasn't ready. And I was so stunned because I thought, oh, my God, Lord, how deep does this thing go? I wanted to know. Is this all right to say to you all? Is this okay? You know? Because, you know, some saints can't take a whole lot of truth. We got to give it a little piece at a time. So I'm going to give you a nice bite. Open wide. There you go. So I was stunned. And if I was a new author and I hadn't been the author of the Prophet's Dictionary, the author of the Prophet's Handbook, I mean, both books have sold literally over, you know, tens and tens and tens of thousands of copies, probably more than that if you go online, you can see. And so I would have been offended, except I realized, okay, so this devil has gotten to the top of this thing and has literally converted God's people to the carnality of the world by literally switching your appetite from God to this culture. And you've had an appetite change and didn't know you had one. So I was stunned. And I said, well, I don't know what to do, but thank God that it's 2016 and we got people, we got the internet, we got printers, publishers that just print on demand. I got a wonderful print on demand, folks. And so I said, I know that God has to give his people an appetite for him again. You have no idea that you have no appetite for God's truth, God's word, God's scripture. That's why you love songs more than scripture, more than you love singing more than preaching, and you love preaching more than teaching, because your appetite is converted from the soul of God. His soul is not appetizing to us any longer. What he feels, what he faces, what he does. So this book is actually God's memoirs before the garden. It's pre-Christ, it's incarnated Christ, it's everlasting Christ. I'm going somewhere with this because I want you to get it. So I ended up, thank God for the self-publishing anointing. I was like, well, I'm going to sell it to the 15 cerebral people we got out there. We got at least 15. We got at least 15 cerebral things. I don't sell it to 15 of them. Actually, we did no better than 15. But what are they saying? Can I get 16? Can I get 16? Go ahead, 16, believe me. Can I get 16? I got 16. Can I get 20? I need 18, 18. I can't I'm good looking at that. Can you say, I run up and get 50 cerebral things. Hallelujah. I love it. You know, you got to laugh at crazy. You know, you just got to laugh at the devil. Oh, my God. I got 90 cerebral saints in that minute. And they told me we didn't have any cerebral saints who bought books like this. Isn't that sad? Christian publishing don't want to publish Christ. I was lost. I wasn't able. I just really wasn't able. Hallelujah. They're talking back on you. I love the place.
This one that our generation likes slogans.
Exactly. Everybody likes slogans. Fiction.
But she has her book.
She has her book. Congratulations. They like fiction, novels, and devotions, and people's testimony. In other words, flesh, 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 and well, flesh. Now, I think some of those books are very good. And I think they're useful, so I'm not discrediting them. But I think that whenever Christ is not at the top of the list, we got a problem. The enthronement is at work. So anyway, I got 90 cerebrals. Oh, God help us. Help the saints, Almighty Jesus. All right, so anyway, I'm reading tonight, talking about mysteries. I'm reading from chapter 14. The word mystery. We fix this study because God's eternal continuum is filled with them. If it held no mysteries, then the continuum itself could not exist because nothing futuristic would be contained within it. And the future is all about a mystery. God's mysteries, as Paul uses them, emphasizes the secret arts, trades, ministries, and practices that characterize Christianity and separate it from other religions and their gods. A mystery is a hidden purpose or counsel reserved for specially selected trustees and confidants. Now, is that good? Are you a trustee and confidant of God? Because that's why you get the mystery. God hides his mysteries from the godly to prevent their indiscretion, from the ungodly to condemn their sin and contain their deception, and from leaders wishing to deform his government. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good statement. Wasn't that a good statement? Yeah. Hallelujah. And also from servants that demonstrate the inability to protect his privacy enough to be trusted with his confidences. His mysteries, particularly the most profound ones, are reserved for his proven confidants. Enoch, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Jesus' three closest apostles, and Paul are Bible figures who fit this description. Enoch walked with God so closely that he could no longer stay on the planet, and God could no longer bear to leave him there. God calls Abraham his friend because he took up the Most High's causes and carried out his wishes to the letter. The Lord rebuked Aaron and Miriam about Moses, with whom he spoke face to face. Joshua entered the tabernacle at a young age and did not come out until it was time for him to succeed Moses. Elijah was so close to the Lord that he did not see death at all. Peter, James, and John were privy to the Savior's divine form and the eternality of Moses and Elijah. These are just a few examples of people who so pleased the Lord that he wanted more than a duty-bound relationship with them. Was that good? Because God wants more than a duty-bound relationship with us, whether it's his duty as our Father or his duty as our God, his duty as our Creator, his duty as our Savior. He wants more than a duty-bound relationship with us. When people say they have a relationship with God and then run down his duties to them, that's a duty-bound relationship. Because when you have a relationships come in many brands, many forms, many types, many motives, many reasons and rationales. But in the end, the relationship that God wants is a relationship that allows him to be himself, to reveal himself without you running off talking about the God I serve wouldn't do this. Are you ready for God to tell you who he's going to take off the planet tomorrow? And will he be vilified when he does? Or is he a friend who has a tough job that you thoroughly understand? Because that's what's required. Being close to God is not just having glory and hearing angels sing. It's not just watching incest spiral into the atmosphere. It's not just looking at the crystal glass and saying, wow, that's very close to a mirror. Being close to God is allowing God to be who he is in all of his forms. God was able to tell Abraham before we came into the evangelical era that he was going to take out two nations. I came to take Sodom and Gomorrah off my planet. Abraham said, oh, Most High, you are not, you're the devil in disguise. Because we always call God the devil in disguise when God does things we disagree with or things that conflict with our doctrine. You won't get God's mysteries until you recognize that God, too, has a ministry. Because mysteries pertain to ministries, and you probably didn't know that. But we're going to talk about that over the next, I hope, couple of sessions. You know, we have those times where God just flat out, you know, just decides, I want to do this. But in the event that he doesn't want to do something else, we're going to do this. I let God tell me his secrets. Most prophets are into name-calling and number dialing and carrying on because God will not reveal his mysteries to them because prophecy is a mystery. And so if God can't tell you his mysteries and get you to, A, understand, B, not exploit it, 3, not take advantage of it, and 4, not criminalize him for what he must do, he's not going to talk to you about that. He also won't give you his mysteries if you're too immature because he knows that you're going to be telling everybody, blabbing everything, and then before you know, the enemy knows his plan before he even gets an emotion. Oh, there's a whole lot of maturity that comes with the mystery of God. So are you ready to go to the screen? I am ready to go to the screen, so I think we'll go. All right. Apostleship and God's mysteries. I kind of chose those little moving box because, you know, yellow is illumination and revelation. Box is talking about containment. I thought that would really be nice to use these little boxes to say apostleship and God's mysteries. The power of Jesus Christ's apostleship in action, from wisdom to witness to works. From wisdom to witness to works. Apostles steward God's eternal mysteries. But what is their source? What assures true apostles achieve God's purposes with his intents in mind? Now, this is very important because a lot of people say that they're doing things for God and they're doing it according to their own understanding of their purpose. But there are times that God wants you to achieve his purpose and with his intents in mind. Oftentimes, we'll do the purpose and we'll do it contrary to what God intended, which means, like he said to Babylon, he said, you know what, I did call you to take out my people, but you did it with evil intent, so now I got to judge you. God is an intent God. He's always down at the basement of intent. God's mysteries and God's mystery. Scripture identifies 17 specific mysteries in the Christian Bible. Actually, it's 25, but some of them are single instead of plural. So 25 mysteries in the Bible. But let's talk about steward. What does the word steward mean? Since we said apostles steward God's mysteries. Let's see what we're talking about here. Hallelujah. Now, the word steward in the New Testament comes from the Greek word oikonomos, which is what from where we get economy. So it's really economy. So let's see what that means for us. Okay? A steward is a manager, a superintendent, to whom a house or proprietor entrusts the management of his affairs, the care of receipts and expenditures, and the duty of dealing out the proper portion to every servant, even to the children not yet of age. So, if we take that and apply it to apostleship, number one, we ought to manage God's mysteries. Now, if you manage mysteries, how do you do that? Well, you'll have to come to my class to get that information because I am not going to manage. Superintend, which means you are overintended or you watch over it, and you do it what? The house head is Jesus over the household. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 3 that Moses was faithful in all of Christ's house. And he was, at this point, he was considered a steward or superintendent. Now, listen to this. Jesus entrusts to us the management of his affairs or mysteries, the care of his receipts or business and income, and the duty of dealing it out in proper portion. One of the things we don't do is measure whether or not we should deal it out or measure the portions of these mysteries we're dealing out. We get so excited, oh, God, it's all excited, and we're amazed and whatnot. We want to wow everybody, and everybody likes to wow people with revelation. Cracks me up when people say, well, now, this is a revelation, and you hear it, and nobody moves, and then you forget, well, you all didn't get it. That wasn't a revelation. That was information. I know the difference between the two. Trust me, I know the difference between a revelation and a piece of never heard before or unpublicized, uncirculated information. And a lot of times we have uncirculated information masquerading as revelation. And the people are like, wow, deep. And I look at y'all and I say, oh, Jesus help us. Revelation is a truth that has been uncovered, searched out, diligently searched out, hallelujah, and confirmed with other corroborating information that preceded it. So it's next in the line of a revelation continuum, which is why I named this book God's Eternal Continuum. Because God has been unfolding revelations for a while. You're going to like this. So let me give you some academic definitions of the word revelation, a steward who administers the property, house, finances, etc. of another. So that's what we're supposed to do, all right? An attendant, a keeper, a manager, an administrator, a caretaker, a protector, an organizer, a supervisor, finance or property manager. So that's academic, and I'm just shortening it from what you can get. A servant, biblical, a servant, manager, guardian, curator, caretaker, overseer, fiscal agent, treasurer, chamberlain, and governor. Now these are basically, I'm going to leave it on the screen for a little bit because I want you to get that. I don't mind you getting it because I know I'm teaching, some of you I'm teaching churches, others I'm teaching classes, others I'm teaching groups and training groups and networks, and I'm okay with that. I want you to get it. We're just going to talk to you about what we can do with it going to the next level. But I want you to get it. So academically, we ought to do the things that you see to the left. Biblically, we ought to do the things or view the mysteries of God the way they're listed to the right. And so when you think of mysteries, the dealing out includes food, clothing, allowances, wages, apportionment. Okay? And it's important that if you understand that a steward can be the superintendent of the city's finances, the treasurer of a city, or treasurers or clerks of kings, metaphorically, the apostles and other Christian teachers and bishops. Now, I wanted you to get this because I wanted you to understand that there is a big work, but taking all of these definitions, now, if you're a training group or your class, take these definitions and apply them to the mysteries of God and see what type of revelations surface. That's how we do it. And just take time and apply them to the mysteries of God and see what comes up. Now, in addition, the word for economy, oikos house, nomos is rules, or economy, which is the basis, and coming from fair, it means biblically the law and the Bible's laws and rules. Well, basically laws and rules in general. Established customs, commands, rules that produce a God-approved state that observes his precepts, statutes, or injunctions. Man, that's so good, I got to read it again. Just give me a minute, I got to lean back. Hold on. Hallelujah. You know, every now and then I got to take a break because, you know, he gets to fumble it up in the spirit. I don't know what to do, so I just say, oh, come on, Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Establish customs, commands, rules that produce a God-approved state that observes his precepts, statutes, or injunctions. When we, as apostles, do our job with the mysteries of God, and we function as stewards of those mysteries, we produce a God-approved state. Now, the rules of action to continue with nomos, which is laws or numbers, the rules of action prescribed by God's reason and ration, the law of Moses in precept, content, and context, the body of God's communications to earth, and their various applications to his creation's existence and experience on earth. You say it's a lot to mysteries, and it's a lot to stewarding, more than handling the plate, collecting the envelopes, dusting out the offering plate when you're done, and handling some communion. You see, the fundamental thing is something of value is being protected and administrated on behalf of another. Something of value. And so, and in this case, the value of someone's house, someone's money, temple, if God can go on. You know, the temple has a, literally the temple of God has an economy. Okay, I'm being told that I have to start. Boy, you guys are going to, and we can't finish until next week. Are you gonna forgive me for having to put you like this? Yeah, you will. I'm going to put these up here because they're important. And so these are the areas of stewardship, what steward means in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Sons and brothers of the Lord, don't write me about why it says man and not woman, because you don't really want to get me in that discussion. So please don't. Don't do that. Titus, for a bishop must be blameless and a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. And in 1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right? So steward pertains to God's mystery, stewardship in general, bishops, and God's manifold grace. Now, are you ready to go to the next level? See, I'm trying. I'm going to get there. I just wanted you to see this. Stringent training enables apostles to translate eternal wisdoms to Christ's contemporary issues. Apostle stewardship of ministry, the mysteries of God, enables them to translate eternity's wisdoms to Christ's contemporary issues. Now, you know that is good. Is that good? That good? Yes. All right. I'm getting ready to go to my colleague, my buddy, and my sister and friend in the Lord, Apostle Dewan. But I wanted to give you, actually keep the screen on this, okay, for a minute, so you know what a mystery is. A secret rite or doctrine unveiled to one who has been initiated. From Mayan, or I'm going to call it Mayan, to close or shut, actual meaning kept hidden from the eyes of initiates until they qualified to earn the right or qualified to see the sacred rites. And I'll end on that tonight because I want to talk to you about something else. Pastor Dewan, are you there? Is she there? Hold on. We're going to open up your wire. Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Good.
I wasn't hearing
good,
you.
Good. I know. I could tell as well. But let me say this before you start talking. Those are some cool graphics there.
And would you believe my
Yeah, exactly. I said, ooh, father. Anyway, but those are some good graphics I like, and great transition graphics.
Thank you. Now, that makes me feel good since she's a marketing girl, you know? Oh, man. So do you want me to do that? Okay. She wants me. Okay, we're going to get the fire for you. As soon as we can, hold on.
Say,
Can we find it? It's a little stuck. There we go. All right, we got rid of that.
Okay.
All right, so now, Pastor Dwight, tell them, while we put the slide up, tell them why you are joining me this evening, because you've got some great ideas for us to take and do more with these Tuesday sessions than we've been doing. So it's open to you.
All right, very good. Thank you so much. You know, Dr. Price and I talk quite regularly, and as we were reviewing thoughts and even programs, we both realized that there are many apostles out there who are yearning for another level of training, another level of stringent education, and just for another level of being able to collaborate and privately talk and be trained by some of the best. And so Dr. Price and I felt that this was a great opportunity to gather the apostles, the apostolic leaders who are training apostolic Christians, and provide a private area where we can talk with you, where we can train you, where we can educate you, and where you can really pick the brain of Dr. Paula Price. And one of the ways that we want to do that is first just getting us all together on one private line. And so here's what I want you to do. Pull out a sheet of paper. If you have your phone, here's what I need you to do. I need you to write down this number, and if you write down this number and this keyword, then Dr. Price and I will contact you with more information on the private area that we'll send you to, so that we can get together in the next few weeks and just talk with you about some of your needs and then also some of your weaknesses in where you may be having trouble in implementing what it really means to be an apostolic Christian and really training, all right? So here's what you need to write down. Write down the number 80123. 80123. And keep that number handy, or you can actually go and type it in your text right now. And then I want you to text the word apostleship to that, and that will put you on our private list specifically for apostles, apostolic leaders, and trainers who really want to go to the next level of being able to train those who God has assigned you to train. So again, the number is 80123. You can put that in your phone, text it right now, and then you're going to text the word apostleship, A-P-O-S-T-L-E-S-H-I-P. You're going to text that word, and then if you text that to us, then that means you're on our private list, and we'll make sure that you get all the information, because our first meeting is coming up real soon. You know, both of us have such busy schedules that we got to figure out when we can do this, but within the next 2 to 3 weeks, or 2 weeks, I believe, hopefully, we're going to get together and talk with some of you so that we can develop a strategic plan of learning just for you apostles.
Whew, isn't that wonderful?
Yes, I think it is. You know, I was going to say this. Who's that laughing in the background? Let me guess. No.
I'm excited.
I'm excited, too, because you know what? Today, I just had another phone call with another apostle who says, I need help, you know, and they were asking me. I said, well, hold on. Help is on the way. As a matter of fact, help isn't just on the way. Help is here. So tell me why you're so excited, Dr. Price.
Well, I'm excited because I know that this is God for his leaders, and any viable organization makes a shift and turns its organization or turns itself by starting with the head, starting with the leaders. And I know that we have very bright, very diligent, very zealous apostles and apostolic people out there who want to do this, apostolic leaders. They want to do this, but they also have questions that they want to ask. I want them to be able to clarify some of the things that I've said. I want to talk to you. I really want to talk to you. I want you to call.
Right. And,
mm-hmm. and I want you in that session because you have got to hear this for yourself. It's great that I brought it. It's great that I'm introducing it. But you have got to conceive it in your spirit, and you have got to let it, it permeate in your soul so that it can inseminate your following. So we have 5 minutes. So I just want you to say it again. I want you to tell them again what that those numbers are. Just one more time so they can hear it one more time.
Oh, yeah. I will, definitely. Again, you're texting 80123. That's the number. So write it down. Type it. Stop. Pull over if you're in the car. Do something. But I guess you can always come back. But 80123, and you're texting the keyword apostleship. And make sure you spell that right or you're not going to get it to us. Apostleship, A-P-O-P-L-E-S-H-I-P. Text that keyword to 80123 and we'll get it. The other thing that I wanted to say real quick is that I think this is going to be very monumental in that there are some things that you and should I say we as apostles and leaders, apostolic leaders, even those apostolic prophets, there are some things that we just won't learn until we're able to talk one-on-one in a more private setting, because there's no way in the world that in a setting like this that you can really get all of your questions answered. So we feel it's time to take it to the next level and do the next step.
I agree. So I want you to consider this your call to action and your instructions for your action. And I want you to text that number and get on our list. I want as many of you as possible to join us, because she's right. It's very difficult because we're smart people. Apostles are called by wisdom. Wisdom calls apostles and prophets. So that means we're automatically thinkers, and thinkers ask questions. And so you have a ton of them, I know. But also, as I wrap this up, I want to say it's the same thing for me. I have to rush through what I'm saying. I can't just spend time. There are some times on Tuesday nights I just want to camp on a thought, but it'll take 2 months to set that thought up. And so I want to say to you that I would like to share more with you. And there are things that, as you've heard from me, I'm sure you've been able to gather, that I know don't belong on this. And so they are not said, okay, but they can be said in our meeting. And so a lot of the things that you wonder about, what does she know and what does she think about it, you know, I did this with her, about a couple of months ago, and I want to say I'm very proud of her, but she's a very challenging lady, and she grilled me for like thank you, sweetheart. She grilled me for like 20 minutes, and I was able to answer those questions, and not because she was contentious, but because she wanted to make sure that whatever she takes to her people is correct and good for them. So, yes, make sure you text us. They said we have 90 seconds, so make sure you text us. I want to thank you for joining me, Apostle DeMarie. You will be hearing from her
next week
and probably next after, because she's going to continue to help do this, because we're partnering and getting this cultivated in the body of Christ. I love you dearly. Make sure you pass it on. Let me know what you thought about tonight. Let me know what you'd like to say about tonight. But most of all, make sure you're on my list for that call. Until Thursday on the Paula Price Show at 11 o'clock Central, and Thursday night on Prophetic Ed, 8 o'clock p.m. Central. Until then, God bless you. Be wise. Be thoughtful. Ask questions. God bless.